It is good to be here this Sabbath. There's nowhere else I'd rather be than worshiping right here at the Franktown Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's good to be worshiping with all of you today. Take a look at your bulletin and look at the sermon title. And ask yourself, have I ever said these words? Is it sundown yet? My typical Sabbath growing up was something like this. The sun would go down on Friday, and that was a good thing. And sunset, the beginning of the Sabbath, usually started maybe at the beach for a beach vespers and a bonfire. Maybe our family would get out all the instruments and play some music on Friday night. Maybe sometimes we would watch a nature video. Then Sabbath morning happened. Sabbath morning was a blur and a rush. Get up. Time to go. We got to go. Let's go. Out the door. We're going to be late. Got to get dressed up. All right. Got to make sure your tie. Got to redo your tie because it's too short. Put it all right. Tie looks good. Everybody's rushing out the door. My dad taught Sabbath school, so he had to be on time, which meant that all of us had to be on time, which meant that all of us needed to hurry it up and get on out. So we got going, and we needed to be at Sabbath school on time, and we got rushed, and we were headed out the door. Finally, we made it to church. Once my brother and I could drive, there were times that we took four cars to church, and there were only four of us living in that house. Four cars. We just, all right, well, we got to go. I got to go. All right, we're out the door, and four cars to get to church for four of us. So we would go to Sabbath school class, and that was fun. I had good Sabbath school teachers as a kid. The older I got, the adult Sabbath school classes were interesting. Then, of course, church happened. You listen to the sermon. And then, if it's a good Sabbath, you have potluck. Potluck's always a good thing. Get some good food. Spend some good quality time with the people in church. And you eat a lot. And then we would go home, and suddenly, as soon as I would go through the front door and change into some clothes, all of a sudden this wave sort of hit me. Oh, I could use a nap right now. That would feel great. Every time. But sometimes we would take a nap. Sometimes we'd go for a hike. Go up in the mountains. I love going up to the mountains. The mountains, are, I think, are one of the most beautiful places on earth. You get to see views that just point to a creator. Sometimes we would go to the tide pools down at the beach. We would see all kinds of cool stuff. But it was very clear, don't get past the knees in the water. I heard, I was at a general conference a long, long time ago when I was a kid, and I picked up on this in the sermon. The general conference president jokingly said this. He said, somewhere between the ankles and the knees, it becomes a sin to get in the water. We didn't go past the knees. We saw all kinds of cool stuff. And then we would come home, and sometimes I would find myself home, and it's still a couple hours left till sunset. I had plans for after sunset. There were things I was going to do right after sunset, and I would look at the time, and I'd look at the sun, and I'd be like, I'd say, hey, Mom, how much longer till the sun goes down? We've all probably said that in our minds, whether we vocalized it or not. Look, and then there's always the part that comes next, when it actually starts getting close, and you're looking, you're like, okay, there it goes. Now the sun is down, but it's still light out. We got to guard the edges of the Sabbath. And then we had to define what that meant as a kid. Well, what does that mean? Is that like 5 minutes afterwards? And then can we go to the store? What does that mean? Someone was telling me earlier that a long time ago the Jews would say when the sun would go down and they saw the first star, that was the green light. Is it sundown yet? What do the edges of the Sabbath mean? Sometimes I think we miss the point of Sabbath. If we have to ask, is it sundown yet? Maybe we're doing Sabbath wrong. I was talking with Daniel and Jamie Santa Cruz. They just moved here from New York City. And they were telling me, maybe a month and a half ago or so, that when you go to some of the hospitals there where there's a very high Jewish population, they have what are called Sabbath elevators. Anybody heard of a Sabbath elevator before? These are special elevators. And some of them, in researching this, some of them are a little bit different. Here's one version of the Sabbath elevator. You go, and let's say you're having a baby. You got to make it to the OB unit. Well, that might be on like the 15th floor. Can't push a button, that'd be breaking the Sabbath. So this Sabbath elevator, you get in it, and it goes straight to the 15th floor. Don't have to push any buttons. Don't have to break the Sabbath. Some of them I read, they will stop at every floor. So you don't have to push any buttons. You just get in and it'll go up and stop and you're like, okay, now I can get up. Here's my floor. Some of them, and I was reading on some Jewish commentators on this idea, they're not allowed to ask somebody else to push the button for them. But they can kind of hint at it. Well, if I was going somewhere today, it'd be the 15th floor. But I'm not. Wink, wink. Yeah. And I think they're just as much missing the point of Sabbath here. Sabbath was meant to be an opportunity. Sabbath was meant to be a gift. The people in Jesus' time ruined Sabbath, I think. The Pharisees had a list a mile long of the things you couldn't do on Sabbath. You know what I noticed, though? There wasn't a list of things you could do on Sabbath. It was a thing, you can't do that? Nope, you can't do this. Can't do that. How enjoyable do you think Sabbath was for these folks? You can take 25 steps, but if you take 26 steps, can't do that. Would it be better if I use the hand mic? I'm feeding back a little bit. All right, we'll keep working on it. Well, let's start off in our discussion on Sabbath and its observance with noting that everyone here probably keeps Sabbath a little bit differently. We can probably agree on that, right? Each one of us probably keeps Sabbath slightly differently. But let's go a little further and remind ourselves that not a single one of us sitting in this church today or in any other church today is going to be saved because you kept the Sabbath. You're not going to be saved by how you kept the Sabbath. My Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that anyone may boast. Everyone who makes it to the kingdom of heaven is going to be there courtesy of Jesus Christ." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. What a great song that saved a wretch like me. Jesus and his grace is what is going to save us. So you'll say, Pastor Jamie, if it's not required to be saved, why keep the Sabbath? If it's not a requirement, just get in the way. Why keep the Sabbath? Because a very long time ago, someone very special wanted to make sure they had some time on a regular basis with you. Turn with me. I think we're on here. There we go. You can hear me a little better there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, and it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day. What did he do to it? He blessed it. And then he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made. Let's look back at that word sanctified. How many of you have used the word sanctified in the last year to describe anything in your vocabulary? Probably not. It's not a word we use a lot, sanctified. So what is a little more common term? In Hebrew, the word is vekadesh, which means set apart or consecrated. We know the word consecrated. It's kind of like dedicated. When we do a baby dedication, we're dedicating that baby for the rest of its life, right? When we dedicate a building, we dedicate that building, right? Where this building is going to, if we dedicated this church, we want to dedicate this to God. It's going to have a mission, a ministry, and a purpose forever, right? And so in this, Jesus uses this word, sanctified, to mean consecrated. It's going to be special throughout eternity. We're going to make this very, very special. Why did Jesus rest? Was he tired? No. My Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 20, it says, God does not get tired or weary, but I believe he knew down the road somebody else would get tired or weary, and that somebody is you and me. Did God have to stop creating people on day six? Could he have kept on going for another 6 or 7 days? Yeah. Can you imagine the stuff he might have made? He made some pretty incredible stuff in those first 6 days. What if he'd kept on going? What else would we have to see? But can you imagine further on, instead of a 5-day work week or a 6-day work week, a 14-day work week? Going 2 weeks without having our Sabbath rest. Can you imagine what life would be like? That'd be miserable. So it wasn't that he needed the rest. He knew you would need that rest. And he wanted to make it special. Because when we're busy, the things that should be in the forefront of our mind usually aren't, are they? We forget about the stuff that's important because we're doing all this other stuff. And so Jesus said, this is going to be great. It's not going to be something that limits them. This will be like a gift to them. It'll be like a gift. And so many people look at the Sabbath as a bunch of restrictions, but that's not what Jesus had in mind at all. He knew you were going to be wasted at the end of a work week. He knew you were going to be tired. He knew you were going to have so much stress from work or from watching the kids or from doing all the things you do during the week. And he said, I think they'll really appreciate having a special day. And we'll get to hang out and spend a little extra time on that day. Exodus chapter 31, verse 16 and 17, it says, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. I'm going to finish this verse in just a minute, but I'm going to go back to the beginning of the verse. Did you see that it said perpetual covenant? That means every time you worship on Sabbath, you are renewing your covenant with God. Isn't that cool? Every time you worship on Sabbath, it's a renewal. It's a saying, God, happy Sabbath, I'm yours. I'm totally yours. But look how it finishes this covenant text. Exodus 31, and this is at the bottom of 17. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. I love that word. He rested and he was refreshed. What picture pops up into your mind when you hear the word refreshed? I spent a lot of time as a kid backpacking and hiking and camping out in the desert in East San Diego County. It gets hot out there in the summertime. Really hot. And then if you're hiking in the hot, it gets even hotter. And when you're working and doing that and exerting, one of the best things in the world when you're just a sweaty mess is if somehow you can get your hands on an ice-cold lemon-lime Gatorade. It's one of my favorites. I get those big ones, the yellow ones. And I know it's kind of cool out now, so it's kind of hard to remember back in the hot days of summer. But when you're soaking hot and the sweat is just running off your face, and you've got this nice, huge, cold drink, When I drink it and I'm really, really thirsty, I'll kick that thing back and just start slugging. Look, look, look. And sometimes I'm so thirsty and it feels so good that it starts running. It starts overflowing on the corners of my mouth and it starts running down my chin. Anybody ever had that happen before? You're like, oh, this is so good. I can't even control myself. I just got to drink more and more. And it just starts coming down your chin. You're like, oh, it's so good. And it's so refreshing. Makes you feel like a brand new person, doesn't it? You've been needing that refreshment, that cool drink. And then you do it and you just find you can kind of feel your whole body start to cool down a little bit. That's what I think of when I hear the word refreshed. You get just this feeling like, oh, yeah. That is how we're supposed to feel on the Sabbath. Refreshed. Sabbath is here. A big exhale. There's a hymn. I pulled out a hymn. Is there a hymn book right in here? When I think of refreshment and correlating that with our Savior, there's a hymn, and we've sung it, and I've told you it's one of my favorite hymns. It's 460. If there's a hymnal in front of you, grab your hymnal. Read through this, because this is one of the most beautiful hymns that talks about kind of what our relationship can be like with Jesus. And I like to think maybe especially on Sabbath. It says, water to the thirsty. Heard this song for the first time when Aaron and I were living in Thailand. 460 in your hymnal. I like to think that this is how I should feel on Sabbath in my time with Jesus. It says, as water to the thirsty, as beauty to the eyes, as strength that follows weakness. Imagine how these things feel. These things should be somewhat familiar to us. As strength that follows weakness, as truth instead of lies, as song time and springtime and summertime to be, so is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. Verse 2, like calm in place of clamor, like peace that follows pain, like meeting after parting, like sunshine after rain, like moonlight and starlight and sunlight on the sea. Picture some of these things in your mind. So is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. As sleep that follows fever. Boy, whew, that's a great feeling, isn't it? When you're feeling terrible and you get that sleep you've needed. As gold instead of gray, as freedom after bondage, as sunrise to the day, as home to the traveler and all he longs to see. So is my Lord, my living Lord. So is my Lord to me. All of those pictures that that hymn paints in my mind, that's how I want to feel on Sabbath. That's how I want my Sabbath experience to be, to have that feeling of refreshment that it talks about here in Genesis. So on that first Sabbath, what is it that you think that Adam and Eve did on that first Sabbath? This is their honeymoon. They're getting to know each other. They just met yesterday. Shotgun wedding, right? They just met, got married. It's Sabbath morning. Adam reaches over, slaps the alarm, turns it off. We're going to sleep today. Sleep till noon, till 1 o'clock. Can you imagine Adam and Eve doing that? I can't. I imagine that they were up, and Jesus says, hey, guys, this is the day I told you about yesterday, Sabbath, Saturday. It's the seventh day. I'm making this one extra special for you guys. Have you seen all the stuff I've made? Let me tell you a little bit about it. And I like to imagine that first Sabbath, Adam and Eve got the grand tour from Jesus, and he showed them all the little things that he made. He went and showed them the elephants. Somehow he had to show them the stuff that's underwater, I think. These are the dolphins. Maybe they could see underwater, but I don't know how it worked. But there's so many cool things underwater, too, that God made. These are all of the different things, Adam and Eve. And they spent their day together, fellowshipping with each other and getting to know Jesus a little bit better. I like to think that those are two very good models for us. and how we can better appreciate and worship on the Sabbath. Working to the point of exhaustion and sleeping all day Sabbath, I don't think is what God had in mind. Sometimes, do we need some physical rest? Yeah, sometimes, I think. But I think maybe we miss out a little bit if that's all we do on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20. Turn in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. The fourth commandment. God gives us a little bit of an idea of how to make our Sabbaths extra special. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Isn't it fascinating that that's the only commandment God says to remember? He doesn't say, remember not to kill anybody. Remember not to commit adultery. Remember not to steal. Remember the Sabbath day. Why do you tell people to remember something? Because you're afraid they're going to forget? Or you know they're going to forget? Hey, remember this one. This one's extra special. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. God expects us to work. Adam and Eve worked in the garden. It's good for us to work. It's good for us to stay busy. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it, don't do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger who is within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In this section, God's intentions for you not to work on the Sabbath are not selfish. He's not saying, look, this is what you can't do just because I don't want you to. He's saying, hey, look, I want you to take the whole day off, you and everyone in your household. Nobody needs to work on this day. You've been working all week long. I want you to have this time to refresh yourself. I want you to have this time so we can hang out. I want you to have this time so we can get to know each other a little bit better. I want you to have this time so that you can have your cup filled after a long week. I want you to have this time so you can have your faith strengthened. I want you to have this time as a reminder of the hope that you have in me. Jesus adds significance and meaning to the Sabbath on his last days on earth here. At creation, there's a whole lot of neat parallels between creation and the crucifixion week. You see, when Jesus was creating everything and he was done, the Bible says he was finished. He said, I'm finished with everything that I've made. 4,000 years later, while he was hanging on a cross, Jesus says, I'm finished. It's finished. Now the Sabbath has extra meaning. Jesus rests on this Sabbath after the crucifixion. Now the Sabbath commemorates creation, but also is a reminder to us of our salvation. There are echoes of creation and Sabbath throughout that crucifixion weekend. Both Jesus and Adam were tempted at a tree. Adam tempted with the fruit of the tree. Jesus hanging on a tree with the people mocking him at his feet, tempting him. Both trees were in gardens. Adam's was in the Garden of Eden, and John chapter 19, 41 says, at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Both Jesus and Adam had their sides opened on the sixth day. Did you think about that? Adam had his side opened. In a very unique situation. So he could obtain his bride, Eve. Jesus had his side opened. So he might obtain his bride, the church. Both of them in very different ways after all these things happened. Rested on God's holy Sabbath day. God commemorates creation and salvation. And in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22 and 23, it says, "As the new heavens and the new earth I will make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and your descendants endure from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. All mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord." So beyond pointing to creation and to salvation, Sabbath also points to our restoration in the new heaven and the new earth. We will worship on Sabbath through eternity. So how do we take this exceptionally special occasion and make the Sabbath a delight? Make it something we look forward to as opposed to looking forward to it ending. What if we spent as much time planning for Sabbath as we do planning for Saturday night? What if during the week we were thinking of different ways to make Sabbath extra special? The overreaching principle of the Sabbath is that your Creator wants to spend time with you. He doesn't want you to be distracted by work. He wants to spend time with you. How can you observe the Sabbath in a way that makes you feel refreshed when the Sabbath is done? How can you observe Sabbath in a way that when it's finished, you're like, man, I can't wait till the next one comes around? Jesus wants you to feel refreshed on the Sabbath after your long week. In Matthew 11, 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." My ideal Sabbath. What does it look like? I love being out in nature. I see the fingerprint of God all over the place when I'm in nature. I grew up near the beach and the mountains weren't too far away. I love seeing aquatic animals. If I could snorkel in one day and see dolphins and turtles and whales and eels, hop out of the water, go up to the mountains, and get on top of a 14er in one day, and watch sunset happen at the end of the Sabbath from the top of that 14er. Maybe see a bear or an elk or a moose on the way up. Maybe a beaver dam. You know why I would want to see all those different things? Because those help make Sabbath extra special for me. When I see a moose on Sabbath, day made. Sabbath made. I look at this thing and I'm like, this thing's antlers are as wide as I am tall. Look at the goofy way it runs. What an incredible creature. Here I get to see occasionally a couple bald eagles. Magnificent creatures. When I see those bald eagles, I'm reminded of the Creator who made them. When I see these huge vistas and these mountain ranges, I'm reminded of the Creator that made them. Here in Colorado, we have some of the best sunsets you'll see anywhere in the world. And on Friday nights, when the sun goes down over the Rockies, I look out at the mountains, and I see that splash of color all across the sky, and I say, wow. What an awesome God, and what a way to start the Sabbath. On Saturday nights, off my back porch, you can see some of the mountains. It faces west, and I see the sun going down. And then I start to see the pinks and the oranges and the purples as the sky just seems to look like it's on fire. And I think to myself, wow, God. Thanks for the light show. Thanks for the Sabbath, and what a special ending to my Sabbath. And instead of saying, man, is it almost time yet? Is that sun really down so I can bounce? I look and I say, oh man, I better head outside. I don't want to miss the sunset to see what God has in store for me as we close out this Sabbath. It's a different frame of mind. Because if we look at the Sabbath and we think of it as things we can and can't do, and we're always looking over our shoulders thinking, oh, was I supposed to do that? But if we have the idea that, hey, I'm going to do everything I can today to make Sabbath more special with me and God, I don't think you can go wrong. It may take a little extra planning, but how much more special is your Sabbath going to be? How much more of a Sabbath like God intended for us to have is it going to be? How much more can you be reminded of how awesome God really is? So as you spend Sabbath afternoon today, as you next Friday prepare for the Sabbath and begin the Sabbath, ask yourself, God, what would God have me do here? How can I make this more special with me and God? How is it that today I can learn a little bit more about God? What situations, what places can I put myself in that'll remind me of God? There's been a whole lot of ideas thrown around for centuries of what to do and what not to do on the Sabbath. And I think it's confused a lot of people. I was confused as a kid. Figure your way out to make the Sabbath a blessing for you. To spend it with the one who formed you in your mother's womb. To spend it with the one who knows your name. To spend it with the one who knew you before you were even born. To spend it with the one who died for your sins. To spend it for the one who gives you the hope to keep on going. The hope in a resurrection. The hope of heaven where there's going to be no more sin. That person's really special to me. That person's really special to you. You get to spend all day Sabbath with that person. I think he's waiting for you to make it special. How do you think it would make God feel? As if an hour before Sabbath, we were like, oh man, I wish Sabbath would last a few more hours. Have you ever been with somebody and they're like, man, they just can't wait to leave? They're like checking their watch all the time. Oh, I was checking my watch. Oh man, well, hey, I really got to go. How does that make you feel? I'm like, oh, I don't really mean a whole lot to this person. Yet if they stay, oh, I wish I could spend more time. How does it make you feel? How does it make God feel at the end of that day? There's a God who loves you so much. So much that he created all this stuff and spent one day just so he could love on you a little bit more. And I hope that when Sabbath happens, you feel extra love. There's a song we're going to close with, and the song is called I Love You, Lord. And it's a great way to respond to God and respond to his gift to us.
All of us as a church family getting together and singing this song to God. I think it's going to sound really, really good. We're going to sing the second part as an acapella. So come on up to the front. If you're already near the front, you can just come a little bit closer on. But we're gonna sing this song as a church family together right up close. Come on up to the front.
That may be the best singing I've ever heard.
Father in heaven, Lord, we hope that our songs and our worship today have helped make your Sabbath as special as ours. And Lord, every seventh day, help us to figure a way out to make Sabbath extra special. Help us to figure out how to make Sabbath what you want Sabbath to be for us. Amen. Help us to take time during the week to plan out some of the things that can make Sabbath. We thank you for that gift of time. Lord, you didn't have to do that. And yet, as an expression of your love, you gave us that time where we could spend together. Thank you so much for the Sabbath, Lord. It's been a blessing being here and worshiping all together today. Bless us as we go out the rest of this day and the different things that we do. Help us to always be reminded of you on Sabbath. In Jesus' name. God bless you and have a Sabbath.